The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Redeemer, in our weakness we have failed to be your messengers of forgiveness and hope in the world. Renew us by your Holy Spirit, that we may follow your commands and proclaim your reign of love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. Kids, I'm going to ask
you.
Do you want some?
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise. Word of God, word of life. Let's pray Psalm 126 responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev.
Those
who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. A reading from Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served. And Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii? And the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. The Gospel of the Lord.
By making an admission that is proof that I might be too influenced by the junior high confirmation boys that I hang out with sometimes, I like this reading because it stinks. It's smelly. It's smelly. I was even suggested to me that the name of this sermon, if I titled sermons, should be "This Sermon Stinks." Well, at least Cindy's children's message was a stinky children's message. I've always enjoyed reading this passage, not only because of its vivid imagery, but it leads us, this is the beginning of the passion story, the beginning of the story that will take place in just a few days. And I like this reading too because it stinks. Just think of the smells in that short few verses that we just heard. The smell of the dinner that Martha is serving, roasted meat, aromatic vegetables and herbs, sweet wine. The overwhelming smell of the nard, that's the perfume that is used commonly for burial. Amanda said it smells like cat pee. You know, and it does have that kind of smell to it. Very pungent, overwhelming smell, commonly used for burial. John says the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then we also have the smell of Lazarus. John mentions twice that Lazarus is at the table. This is the Lazarus that Jesus had raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, his body had already begun to decompose. Martha and Mary had warned Jesus as he approached the grave that there would be a stench. There's no reason to believe that Jesus changed Lazarus's body. Later we'd hear that Jesus' own resurrected body would bear the visible signs of the cross. His body didn't change from death to resurrected life. So there's no reason to think that Lazarus's body had changed. So at this dinner party, there may have been not only the one smell of the nard, which would remind people of burial and death, but also the smell of Lazarus, mingling these two scents that we can hardly imagine. What with the propensity that we have for Febreze and Lysol spray, we don't have to smell things that we don't like. John's gospel doesn't give us those details, but what matters here in chapter 12 of Luke's gospel, or of John's gospel, is that Lazarus is not hanging out in some back room. He's here at the table with Jesus and with Judas. And that's another smell. You know that famous old line from the movie, "I smell a rat"? The presence of Judas, that rat who would betray Jesus in just days, shows us that this is really a stinky situation. But maybe it's because of the presence of Lazarus that prompts Mary to anoint Jesus on this day, days before his death. She's known the sting of death. Her brother is sitting there, living reminder that people die. By doing what she does, by not delaying, she transforms the smell of the nard from one of death and burial to the scent of life. Mary doesn't wait until it's too late, until the proper time for using that perfume. She pours it out precisely at this time when people wouldn't understand, when it would be seen as an extravagance, a year's worth of wages to buy that one bottle of perfume. Mary's action is a protest against the proper way of doing things, and it's in an own way, it's a protest against death itself. By wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, Mary anoints herself with a fragrance that will linger on her own body in the days to come. This memory scent will fill her nostrils as her friend is betrayed and arrested in the middle of the night, when he is convicted on false charges, when he pours out his life and offers forgiveness on the cross. Perhaps the smell of that perfume on her own hair will give her strength in the days to come. If nothing else, it will connect her to Jesus, which is no small thing. What connects you to Jesus? What do you expect from your relationship with God? And like the unexpected things that are told in this gospel story, God is often up to unexpected things with us. In fact, God is usually up to unexpected things. You know, people expected a Messiah to look like the great King David. What they got instead was a carpenter's son, a preacher, a teacher with no place to lay his head. On the day that we call Palm Sunday, the day following this dinner in Bethany, the crowds welcome Jesus, who they expected to overthrow the Romans who were in positions of power in Jerusalem. Instead, he's crucified by them. Even his followers expect that this crucifixion is the end of the story. And as it turns out, it's just the beginning. Now, that isn't, of course, all of the unexpected deeds of God, because God uses the most unexpected people for God's work. Think of Sarah, the old wife of Abraham. She wasn't expected to have children, and yet her progeny was greater than the number of stars there are in the sky. Moses wasn't expected to lead the Israelites to freedom. His sister Miriam wasn't expected to be a prophet, singing God's praise after the victory over the Egyptians. The fresh-faced shepherd boy, David, wasn't expected to be a king. Our sacred story is full of accounts of God doing unexpected things through unexpected people. God seems to love the unexpected. The last of Lent and the celebration of Easter are the highlight of the work of our unexpected God. Death is assumed to have the last word, but Jesus is raised from the dead. Our God is doing the most unexpected thing of all in bringing life where there was no life. So what do you expect from God? For God to come into power? To answer your prayers as you would like? To favor your political candidate or your favorite ball team? Are we prepared to be surprised as God does the unexpected? Where might God be at work right now in unexpected ways in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our community? What kind of unexpected things is God up to with the homeless youth in Ocean Beach? You might want to go to that meeting in the meeting room after today's service and hear a presentation about. We might be surprised. God does unexpected things through unexpected people. In fact, God may be about to use you in an unexpected way or in a surprising way today. You might be used to care for a neighbor, to offer a listening ear, to go about your daily chores with renewed faithfulness and courage, to stand up for someone who is less fortunate, to speak up for ones who have been silenced by bullying or threats. Maybe God will turn your heart or turn the heart of the ones that you call other. Who knows? But one thing we do know for sure is that God is all about surprising us with where God shows up, with who God is using, and with what God accomplishes. So be on the lookout for signs of our unexpected God, the one who shows up where we least expect God to be, and always for the good. In the meal that we share at this altar, God shows up in the ordinary and in the unexpected places of bread and wine to offer forgiveness for our sins and strength for our days. Open your eyes to the surprising look, the surprising ways that God will use you today and through the week to care for people and to care for the world that God loves. Watch out, not in the sense of watching out, but watch out for ways that God is using you in surprising and unexpected ways today. Amen.